Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety from Lighthouse Hockey and the Fans First Sports Network. My name is Dan Saracini. Joining me via Zencaster just hours after the Islanders shit themselves, all over 80,000 people at MetLife Stadium and a few hundred thousand more watching at home, is my friend Michael Leboff. And Mike, I don't even know where to start with this. I don't even know. Everybody listening to this knows what happened in the game. I don't know how granular or deep we need to get into the game. I don't even know where to even start with this. This was both unbelievable and completely predictable at the same time. And yeah. I think we both know that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a person, and this is a theme of this entire show, really, like this podcast was basically founded on this premise. But if you're a person that believes that the world is out to get you as a New York Islander fan and out to get the New York Islanders, and the team is cursed by the hockey gods, it was a big night for you. Because that's the only way you can really explain what just happened there, and the feeling you feel, and it's one of those losses where you get the 7-8 texts just rolling in from Islander fans, and most of them kind of come down to one attitude, which I can succinctly say as, like, there just comes a point where it's almost just not worth it anymore. How much more can a person take, you know, for what's supposed to be a hobby and a fan? You know, fandom is supposed to be a hobby. It's supposed to add to your life and not make it more miserable. And all those thoughts are coming, you know, rushing into your head, and you get all the texts and everyone is sick and I'm numb, all that stuff. And you know what the worst part is? About 20 minutes ago, I turned on the Penguins game to scoreboard watch. Like, what is wrong with me that I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna, hopefully maybe the Kings can come back and beat the Penguins and I can feel a little bit better. And it didn't do anything for me, obviously. And yeah, I'll be there on Tuesday night watching this team play the Penguins, and I don't know. Like, it's what are you supposed to do when this is how it keeps going? Man, I feel so bad for people who went to that game. You ever watch those? I don't mean for this analogy to come off crass, but I like analogies. So you ever watch like Band of Brothers or that Masters of the Air is out now, or the Pacific, or any war movie? And I feel like there's a fixture of any war movie or docudrama or television series is there's always that one scene of the players, the soldiers who are on the front line, and they're coming off the front line, and the new recruits are like walking by them in the street, and like the new recruits have their fresh uniform on, and you know they're kind of gung ho about going, and they're like, you know, how was it? And the other guys just kind of have that 1,000-yard stare, and they're like, it's just terrible. And I just imagine that of, you know, all these people bussing home from MetLife Stadium right now as we're talking are those you know, the old guard coming off the front line and just battered and bruised and mud and just wearing all these scars. So, you know, there are people there with scars from Chris Simon smacking Ryan Holwig in the face and watching that game, watching the Islanders lose that game, the Brendan Witt goal that didn't count against the Sabres, and you know, just down the line, just all the emotional baggage that this team has thrown you into you, and these people are coming home on the bus with, you know, all those shell shocked memories, and I mean, I don't know, I don't even know if anything I don't remember anything I've said to you in these 3 minutes. I'm just my mind is just mush from that loss. That was an absolute kick in the you know what's.
I mean, it's like the. Going to an Islanders-Rangers game at MSG is something I have said I would never do. And this is the exact reason why, because you're there in amongst enemies, you know, behind enemy lines, as to use another war analogy. And, you know, if things go awry and your team is on the losing end, well, you have all of a sudden become, you know, you have to watch out. You know, now you're in a landmine. Yeah, you're in a minefield. You got to get out there and hopefully with the least amount of bodily harm or at least emotional harm as you possibly can. This was probably that times 10. The magnitude of this game, the importance on the Islanders playoff quote-unquote chase, and I'll get to that again in a minute, just the stage, everything about it just makes this a million times worse. And again, I literally have absolutely no idea. I mean, the first thing I thought when they lost that game was, how the hell are we supposed to talk about it? Like, I don't even want to talk about it. I just don't even know what to say. Like, what do you say to this team that does this over and over? And we have seen this game play out 50 times this season. This was the biggest one this season. Right.
That's the crazy thing. Is right. Like, you could, coming into the season, you know, if this was the kind of standalone of this version of a loss, you'd be like, well, man, I've seen my fair share of losses like that as an Islander fan over the years. So you're already coming into the season with that. And then to add to it, not just one or two, but a laundry list. And Rob Taub tweeted out the list right after the game. 2-0 lead versus Detroit, 3-1 lead versus Carolina, 3-2 lead at Vancouver, 3-2 lead at Seattle, 3-2 lead at Calgary. Those four games that I just read off for in a row.
Right.
4-3 lead at Calgary. That's the same game. 3-2 and a 4-3 lead at Carolina. I think the Islanders ended up winning that game, and if I said miracle, 4-2 lead at the Devils, 4-1 lead versus San Jose, 4-2 and 4-3 lead versus Boston, a 1-0 lead with Nashville, 4-3 lead at Colorado, 5-3 lead against the New York Rangers. That's not a season's worth of of insane losses. That is, I mean, when's the last time a Bruins fan has seen a loss like we just witnessed, or a Lightning fan, or a Los Angeles Kings fan? Hell, like a fucking Flames fan. Like, I know the Flames have had some shitty luck these past couple of seasons, but I don't know many teams do it like this. Like, this is, as you said, it's unbelievable and so predictable at the same time. And that's the worst part, because you are along for the ride. And as it's happening, you know, it's happening. And you are so connected to this team that you can't just be like, why? Like, I can't do it anymore. Like, nope. Yeah. and I mean this in as a compliment to the people listening to the show, but the people who are listening to the show are, we're all incredibly weak and we have the same exact flaw, which is we're all going to be watching this team again on Tuesday mm-hmm. night, even though they just did this to us yeah. and they did it. And it was the 10th time this season they did it to us. There are 82 yeah. games in the NHL season. The Islanders have 28 left. So this is what, game 54, and they've already done this 10 times or so. Mm. One out of every 4.5 games, 5.5 games, whatever the math is, that you've watched this season has been like this.
Right.
They still don't have an empty net goal.
No, they still have an empty net goal. Of those more than 10 times, four of these were against teams in their own division, including today's, obviously, the two against Carolina and the one against New Jersey. Like you said, the Vancouver, Seattle, and Calgary thing was within a week. Like it's
at 10 o'clock at night, everybody's up right. late watching the Islanders right. kick you in the dick.
Yeah. my in-laws were over. I was telling you before, tomorrow's my sister-in-law's birthday, and so we were having dinner. You know, we made dinner for them, and they were here while the game was melting down. And as soon as the Islanders started taking those penalties, I was like, this is where I knew in my heart that this is where the game was going to fall apart. And I said, this is where they're going to blow it. And they did. And sure enough, like they, you know, I was the one who was watching TV. My brother-in-law's a big Devils fan, but he wasn't really paying that much attention. And so when it was over, he was like, oh, they lost, huh? I'm like, you sound surprised. He's like, yeah, I can't believe they were winning. I'm like, yeah, this is how they've lost like 100 games this season. They do this every single time. They take a lead and then they just start throwing the game away with dumb penalties and an inability to clear the puck. Let me ask you this. In that 4-minute span where they took all those penalties and just, you know, gave up the game and let the Rangers tie it, how many times did they fail to clear the puck out of their own zone? I don't know the exact number, so this is kind of rhetorical, but like, you watched it. It was like a dozen times, especially when they were killing that 5-on-3 because the Rangers had pulled Igor Shesterkin. They just couldn't clear their own zone. And so they were out there for 2 full minutes. There's no way that they weren't going to give up a power play goal.
Yeah.
And every time. This happens every single time.
Every time.
Yeah.
There was one. They did have one clearance. Cal Clutterbuck.
Right.
Flings it down and. You know, Emily was out to dinner, and I knew this game was coming up, and she asked if she could go, and I was like, yeah, like the outdoor game, but it should be over by then. But since it was delayed,
yeah.
I was home with Isla, and, you know, I'm just chasing her around the house and watching the game, and when Cal Clutterbuck sailed that puck out the zone, like, and it's just in the middle of the air, I just started laughing like an idiot, just cracking up, because I was just thinking to myself, I know that this puck is not going in the net. Right. It looks like it's going in. And I know it's not. And like this is all going through my head as the puck is just sailing across the rink and not going in the net. And I'm like, because I know that this team is just not capable of icing this game. They cannot kill this game off. Mm. And I also know that this puck's going to come right back down the other end and eventually going to end up in with these two teams taking a face off in the middle of the ice because the Rangers just scored. And yeah, I was right. And so they get that one clearance. Then there is the failed clearance by, I think it was a Pelech or Pulak trying to like skate it out. Mayfield, up the middle of the ice, which I thought was the right thing to do. He did elevate it. Just Fox made a, knocked it down. And as soon as that puck stayed in, you're like, not only are they going to score here, but it's going to be a tie game where we're going to lose this game basically. And all, I think our conversations throughout the game, like they're doomsday. Like,
yes,
I'm very superstitious about never wanting to count my chickens before an Islander, especially with this team. Right before, midway through the first, the Islanders were up 3-1, and I was like, yeah, well, don't worry, the Rangers haven't got their customary 5-on-3 yet. And then a couple minutes later, I was like, can we just fast forward to the part where Scott Mayfield takes a dumb penalty and the Islanders tie it up? I mean, the Rangers tie it up. And I thought we dodged a bullet because he did that and the Rangers scored to make it 5-4. And I was like, okay, so at least it didn't count to and they're going to tie it up eventually, but at least it wasn't that obvious. And then he did it again. And I know people are upset with the refs in this game. And I think you probably have a lot of reasons to. And like I said, this is a game that really, really drives home the world is out to get you mentality that we all thrive on, because from the second the broadcast started to the the end of the game, it felt like this was just like a celebration of three different things. New Jersey as a state, the New York Rangers and Mark Messier, and like just the Jonas Brothers or something. That's what it felt like, a celebration. Like the Islanders were just there to make up the numbers. So it did feel like the entire kind of thing was kind of rigged against us, and that is a feeling we all know so well. And then to see the refs kind of deciding to get heavily involved after not being all that heavily involved, and but still, like the Islanders, there's 4 minutes left in that game. They've already gone through this 100 times this season. There's no team in the NHL that should know better than them that all they need to do to not lose this game, and to use a Patrick Watt quote, was it was like shooting our own foot. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did, and that's how the Rangers win. Like the Rangers win by, like, they're down two. It seems like they're just perpetually down two goals with 8 minutes left in the third period, and you just know, they just need to get their power plays. Once they get their power plays, it's, you know, and everyone's like, oh my god, I've never seen anything like. What do you mean you've never seen anything like
this? Happens.
Stay up late, watch the Rangers go through a West Coast swing, and the Ducks take a 3-1 lead on them, and see what happens.
Hmm. Yeah, and it's the opposite for the Islanders. Oh, I can't believe they lost, dude. This is how they lose every single game. They just they come out, they put all the pressure on the goalie, on the other team. They get a bunch of goals. Everything looks like it's in control, and then all of a sudden, the passes start getting a little less crisp. The puck is in their own zone a little bit more. Penalty here, penalty there. Oh, now there's a power play. Oh, the power play goal. Oh, well, now they're within two. Another couple of failed clears. Wow, that guy's been on out. This guy's been out there on for a long time. They're kind of hemmed in their own zone a little bit here. Oh, another power play. Oh, another power play goal. They're within one now. Pull the goalie. 25, you know, somewhere between 30 and 15 seconds left in the game. Game is tied. Overtime loss. And today's overtime loss, obviously, the worst of them all. A giveaway by Noah Dobson, who had had a great game. He had 3 assists. He's like the first Islanders defenseman with 50 assists in the first, whatever, 52 games of the season since Dennis Potvin. What other defenseman has even come close to being on any list with Dennis Potvin in our lifetimes? Nobody, right? So, like, this dude's playing well. Gives the puck away to Vinny Trocheck, who, fuck that greasy motherfucker. I hate this guy so much. He's the new Brian Boyle. Like, fuck this guy. His face, I can't stand him anymore. Like, I'm tired of him. And I didn't like him when he played for Florida. Eventually, he will play for Pittsburgh because, as we know, he's from Pittsburgh. I fucking hate this guy. And somehow, I don't even know what the hell happened. It ends up on Panarin's stick, who scores while Dobson is knocking the puck off the moorings. It goes in. It's even people like, oh, well, it should count. The refs are getting together. Who cares? That game was over. That game was over the minute Scott Mayfield took. Actually, the minute that they called Trocheck and Romanov for roughing or whatever it was, Barzal took that penalty. That's when that game was over. Yep. It was Matt Barzal taking that penalty. And then Scott Mayfield took his customary penalty. Game was tied. And that, like, all of these things, you can sit here and be like, the refs did this. The refs called that. This shouldn't have counted. How is that a goal? But none of this matters because this team does this. This is who they are.
Yep.
They cannot hold the lead, and they will lose this game 100 times out of 100. We have seen it over and over.
And it's who their opponents are, and it's who this exact game is too. Like, this game, this is the Islanders and the Rangers. This is how it goes. Like, the Islanders can play as well. Patrick Wilde even said after the game that, you know, it was a positive game for the Islanders. They played well.
The underlying numbers are all in the Islanders' favor. Go to Natural Stat Trick, and even if you're not a fan of these, we link to it all the time in Lighthouse Hockey. Click on that link and look at what it looks like. That is a dominant win for 31 teams in this league.
And you know what, too? And it's also a loss for 31 teams in this league. The Rangers are the only team in the league that wins that game. And it's just who they are. And that's part of the problem here is that we know this going in. And you know this when you're up 5-3 with less than 4.5 minutes left, that this team is not dead because they are the Rangers. Like, they'll catch a break, and they'll capitalize on it, and they'll celebrate, and you'll be pissed off. And guess what? They're going to just gonna try to get you to do something stupid again. And you're going to do it because you're the Islanders. Like, I've watched Andy Sutton make that play. I've watched Bruno Gervais make that play.
Andrew McDonald has made that play.
Andrew McDonald's made the Brian Strait's made that play.
Yep.
Hell, I've watched good defensemen make that
play. Yeah, I was like, going to say, we've seen Adam Pellick make that play and they'll lose a playoff series.
Right. Yes, yeah. Like, this is
right
what it is. It just is like our Latin life, and it sucks to just be reminded of it when it's that on the nose. And I, from, like I said, from the way that the broadcast was, like the way this whole event kind of was, you know, put together, where the Islanders were one of, you know, the Islanders just can't get their own little thing, right? No. Like, at least, you know, we'll talk about the All-Star game thing, yes. But, you know, it's like, they're just there as the fourth man in, and here they are. Here come the Islanders. There's Mark Messier. you know, for some reason we just keep talking about him, and, the whole thing just felt very like it had to end like this way. And when the Islanders went up, when they scored that five on that goal to make it 5-3,
yeah.
With, you know, Lindgren goes into the boards hard, the play continues. You're like, wow, like that is not how I expected things to go.
Mm.
And instead of being just excited and relieved about it, I was like, it's just going to maybe get us to overtime. I was like, that goal maybe moves our chances from getting this game to overtime from like 30% to 80%.
Yeah.
Because I know how this goes. Like, I just do. And it's, and that suspended animation is so exhausting when you're supposed to be enjoying being a fan. It's like, it's like VAR in soccer or these reviews in hockey. Like when you score a goal and you're like, oh God, I hope it's not offsides or something like that. Like it should be an enjoyable moment of catharsis. And instead, in the back of my head, I'm just like, not even going to be celebrating it because it's too early to celebrate because I've seen this team blow a lot more secure leads than this to a lot worse teams than this, indoors as well. So like, it's not, yeah, it was not a fun night. I hope that they just never play an outdoor game again. You know, I was really enjoying the jerseys. I thought that they looked cool. And now I'm just like, I hope I never see these jerseys again, unfortunately, because like, I'm just going to be transported back to this moment. And I mean, it's just.
Yeah, it's well, sorry. Let's pause for a moment and talk about the positives in the game, and then we'll get into the big picture stuff in a second. So there was some positives. I actually did come around to the jerseys after a while, although some reports from some of the reporters at the game said their numbers were a little bit hard to see. That's because you're a million miles away and the rink is tiny and it's surrounded by a lot of blank space and nothingness, because that's the way these outdoor games are, which, you know, I don't think people really understand, but I thought they came across pretty well. But you know, after the Rangers took a lead a minute and 30 in, the Islanders just went to work. Nelson had a great goal. Horvat and Barzal scored within 16 seconds. Barzal's power play goal was great. He was kind of falling down, and he tipped it in. Not exactly how they drew it up, but it looked good.
It should have been a penalty, too. Like, when I saw that happen, I was like, okay, like, the Islanders got there.
Hmm.
There.
Yeah.
The refs said you can't possibly give the Islanders another
call, of course not. But you know, so then they went up 4-1 early in the second. Anders Lee got a nice tip on it, and they said the Islanders big players came to play. The first line was going great. And then all of a sudden everybody went into suspended animation. Like, all of a sudden everybody went into hibernation. I was like, where's Barzal? Where's Horvat? Where are these guys? And all of a sudden it seemed to be a constant parade of Pajot, Holmstrom, Wahlstrom, and then the fourth line. And all of a sudden the guys that got them there seemed to just disappear, and everybody kind of wilted a little bit. Trocheck scores a power play goal, make it 4-2. He scores again near the end. It looked like Panarin, but I guess he got a tip on it. Whatever, who cares? The Islanders needed to get out of that period. And I thought, okay, maybe they can get out here, you know, come back, play a good third period. Romanov scores, as you were talking about, makes it 5-3. I thought this was great. And then again, the whole thing melts down with 5 minutes to go. Penalty, goal. Penalty, goal. And then overtime, boom, the game is over. And this is where I want to talk about big picture stuff. I mean, again, this is. The game is the game. It's over. It'll be 10 years before they get another outdoor game. Maybe if they're lucky, this one should never have happened. To be blunt, I said this on Twitter. They don't deserve this game, and this should never happen. This game should have been last night. Rangers Devils. End of story. You didn't need to invite the Islanders. You didn't need to invite the Flyers. They could have just been that. Like the whole way it's set up, the celebration of New Jersey, that stuff is fine. I live in New Jersey. I love New Jersey. That was great. Why the hell are the Islanders here? They don't need to be here. Nobody wants them. Like it's just, and they just showed you why, basically. Here's the problem. There is something rotten on this roster. Something is rotten. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's one person. These are all very, very likable guys, most of whom have gone to absolute war with this team and who I will be indebted to for the rest of my life. That being said, something is rotten on this roster because you can't do what they did today 12 times in a season and not come away with feeling that something is wrong. Something is very wrong. They did this under Lane Lambert. I'm not saying Lambert shouldn't have lost his job because he did not inspire a whole lot of confidence in me personally or in the fan base. I think Patrick Waugh is a good coach. He's only been here. He hasn't even been here for 10 games. This was game number 9. So we got to give the guy a lot more time. Something is rotten on this roster. Something needs to change. I don't know if that means somehow getting rid of a couple of the guys who have long-term contracts, like Scott Mayfield, who had a terrible end of the third period, or Pierre Engvall, who, again, looked okay for a couple of shifts and then just disappeared. I don't know what the problem is. Something is rotten because this team absolutely shits itself with a lead late in a game, or with any lead, or in not even with a lead in a game, a moment that they need to get points. They absolutely lose total composure of their bodies and they fall apart.
They don't have an empty net goal.
They don't have an empty net goal. You know what the best thing about this? We talked about this before we came on. The best thing about talking about this game right now, we do not have to talk about Tuesday night's game against Seattle, which was another horseshit game that they lost in a shootout that they didn't need to. They could have come out. Seattle didn't play well in that game, but the Islanders played worse. Like, how do you not beat that team? They had lost 5 games in a row, including the night before. They just were like, who cares?
Yep, and a goalie who hadn't played in 2 months. And
yeah, a goalie who hadn't played in 2 months. Right. A team that seems like it's maybe going nowhere this season. There is something rotten on this roster.
I think actually that Seattle game, I don't want to talk about it, except as a kind of like part to add to your argument here that something's rotten. That Seattle game came on the heels of a terrible effort in front of the next gen crowd against the Flames, where they're all like, we got to be better. Like, we have no excuse for that. And then they came out and just were as garbage. Flat against the team that was basically inviting the Islanders, like, look, guys, we don't want to keep our season going.
Right.
We know it'll be like a little bit of a dead cat bounce. Please just beat us 3-1 quietly and we can move on. And then the Islanders like, no, come on.
Right.
You guys, you please, by all means, try as hard as you can to beat us, because and hopefully our goalie doesn't stand on his head. And Sorokin was great in that game and luckily got them to a shootout.
Right.
And and after the game, they were like, well, I think it was Anders Lee. I saw the quote come on across on Twitter. And I think, you know, in this day and age, we're pretty good at about knowing that people can take a quote and like just put the juiciest part of a quote on to Twitter. Mm. I mean, Luke Fox Jukebox is in all world at this exact skill. Usually it's a positive thing about the Maple Leafs and a belt that they get after the game. But like Anders Lee was like, yeah, you know, we good job by us to get a point out of that one.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I gotta see, because I don't think that's, you know, the full quote here, like, or the gist of the quote. He probably was like, you know, we didn't have it and we did like, you know, we at least we got a point, but can't keep playing like that. No, it really wasn't. It was the gist of that was he was proud that they stuck with it and got a point in a game that they should have won going away.
Right. I heard that and I was like, I'm sorry, were you just playing on the road against like the defending Stanley Cup champions?
Is this the 1980 like warm-up game against the Soviet Union? Yeah. What's going on here?
Right. That's the kind of thing you say when you're on the last game of like a 7-game road trip against a really good team in the Western Conference, and you do that. You hang on, you claw and scratch your way to a point just to get something, you know, and you can go home with something after winning a couple before that. That's not what you say when you're at home against a team that played the night before.
Yeah, and you're coming off of the performance you had against the Flames.
Yeah.
And then know that you have 4 days off after that to go to this, you know, spectacle. Like, that's the quote? No, it's like, where, as Patrick Waugh says, every chance he gets a microphone in front of him, he's like, this is playoff hockey. Well, just can you tell the rest of them?
Yeah. Right.
Do they where do they think this is? Like, what's going on here?
I don't know, and
it's so frustrating for fans because A, we're helpless, and B, this is we're fans. So you're thinking about this as a why do I do this? You know, we're having this existential question about fandom once a week, basically. And you're just giving us more reason to not buy in. And we've just been through, this season has just been so heavy in terms of the twists and turns, because they've all just led to us getting smacked in the face with a rake, you know, stepping on a rake. Like, if the season's just been an absolute, it's been diabolical. It's been diabolical, and we're still here talking about them, because this is actually, you know, the worst part is that they're still in it. Like, this team is, and I don't want to say it's likely they're going to get in, nor do I think that they're going to get in, but they are only 4 points out of a playoff race, and there's every, you know, a host of teams in front of them that don't look like they're not as psychotic as the Islanders, but does anybody trust that the Detroit Red Wings aren't going to, like, fall off a bit here? Does anybody, you know, that name the team, Flyers, et cetera. Like, the Islanders are still, just by definition and math, on the fringe of this playoff race.
Yeah, I have some breaking news for you to that end. The Pittsburgh Penguins have lost tonight. They lost 2-1. They were up 1-0.
Great night for the Islanders.
Yeah, Adrian Kempe, couple of goals in the third period, including one shorthanded goal.
Nah, I'm not on Jaromir Jagr night. They did
on Jaromir Jagr night. Yeah,
oh my god.
Actually, yeah. So
was it also Marc-Andre Fleury night? Did they squeeze a Marc-Andre Fleury ceremony in there too?
Maybe. Yeah, I think every night is Marc-Andre Fleury night. But yeah, sorry. So Kempe scored at 13:49, and then again at 16:50. So just about 3 minutes later.
Yeah.
So two goals in 3 minutes for him, and he's our star of the night. He's our Islander of the night, Adrian Kempe. Thank you so much. You're the man. Good job.
Oh, man, Adrian Kempe, you don't know it, but you're an Islander, buddy.
He is now. He's joined the Adam Henrique Islander hero and Peter Mrazek Islander hero club. But
Jesus Christ.
that's what you're saying. Like, I don't think this team is going to make the playoffs. Like, how is this team going to make the playoffs? The team that cannot hold a lead, cannot be trusted to come up. You know, one of my favorite Barry Trotz-isms, come up big in a big moment. This team has consistently come up small in the biggest possible moments. How is this team going to make the playoffs? And even if they did, let's say all those other teams went into the absolute shitter and they all lost 12 games in a row, and the Islanders, just by virtue of the fact that they're still on two legs, make it. What do you think they're going to do in the playoffs? What is this team going to do? I don't understand it. Something is rotten. And again, this is what I was saying before. Like, you use diabolical. I love that word. I'll give you another comic book word. Insidious. This is the thing about this team that is so insidious is, like, games like today, you look at the numbers, especially under Wah, their underlying numbers have been pretty good. Like, they get, you know, they win the expected goals for battle. They might get more high danger chances. Finally, they are cutting down on their shots against. That's good. We like to see that. Everything points to a team that should be competitive, and yet somehow they keep losing.
Yep.
Why is it that they keep doing that? Again, they can't clear the puck. They can't kill a penalty. They can't just make the simple play that gets them out of danger. They can't just roll one line after the other and keep things going. They can't forecheck anymore. They just forgot. Their neutral zone play is a disaster. These aren't things necessarily that can be quantified, although their awful penalty kill can be quantified and kept getting brought up on the broadcast. But, like, all of these things are just like, how are they doing this? Because they're not, like, there's no stat for, like, you know, failed clears in a game, because the Islanders would lead the league in that, but they don't keep that stat. So, like, that's what makes this so insidious. It's just like, something is wrong, but I don't know what it is. And it's driving me bonkers.
You know what? The Islanders season, the slogan of the season, I think, is there's just so much you can take. And I think that the kind of image of the season, you know, I thought for a while it was going to be Simon Holmstrom helping Robert Bortuzzo to the bench, but I don't think it's that one anymore. I think now it's just, you know, and you can picture it. I don't have a specific image to throw at you, but I can tell you exactly what it is. It's the puck is in the Islanders net. And the four players on the ice that are wearing Islanders jerseys, not including the goalie, are all their arms are by their side. They're holding their stick in one hand, and they are just looking up at the ceiling. You know, that yeah. Adam Pellick is the one who comes to my mind. He's just, you know, not even moving his legs, but like just gliding towards the bench and is looking up straight up at the ceiling, or in this case, the New Jersey sky. And because I've seen that image a million times in this season and just been like, I don't ever want to see Adam Pellick gliding to the Islander bench, holding his stick out to the side and looking up at the gods and ever again. Like, I just don't like these. And I think you're right. Like, it has to be rotten here, or something insidious, whatever you want to say, is because it's gotten to the point where it's not, there are some, you know, usual suspects involved, and Scott Mayfield, who, by the way, you know, my bad, because I the other day I was thinking, like, he's been better, you know, when him and Riley, like, playing together, Mike Riley staying in the lineup has really helped Mayfield's game, I think, and it kind of allows him to just do the stuff that he's good at. We saw this happen last year, like, when he's with somebody who can just move the puck a little bit, like, he doesn't, and the puck isn't on his stick as much, he gets much better. And I had these thoughts, and today, just, you know, that's on me, I guess, but you know, there are usual suspects, but it's not the same. It's a similar tune, but it's maybe they're all on the same album, but they're different songs.
Yeah,
because this one was, we've seen them, you know, take dumb penalties and blow leads, sure, but this wasn't just that. This was like an absolute chaos ball, and the game against the Kraken was just like a flat effort, and the game against the Flames was just a, you know, they just didn't show up. So they're you hear a lot of times about teams that are Stanley Cup favorites, like you know, the thing about the Oilers or the Hurricanes is they could beat you in a number of ways.
Yeah.
The difference with the Islanders, it's like, oh, the Islanders, they can beat themselves in a million different ways. And you know, Simon Holmstrom can take a high sticking penalty in the offensive zone, or Oliver Wahlstrom can just hit John Tavares or whoever was skating across the neutral zone with 5 minutes left of maybe their best game, best performance of the season.
Noah Dobson can hand the puck to Vinny Trocheck standing by himself in front of the net without anybody there. Yeah, no, 100%.
You see it coming, but you just don't know where it's coming from. It's like, you know, to bring us back to World War II, you're like sitting in like a foxhole and you're under siege and you can hear that the enemy is approaching, but you just, it's all over the place. And you're just like, I don't know where they're going to get me from, but they're going to get me. And they get us. They always get us with the Islanders. So, but yeah, they're still in it, baby. They're still in it. 4 points back. Just got to win, you know what, 18 out of the last 28 or something.
Sure.
Let's get us to 90. How do we get to 95 points? We just need 37 more from the next 28 games. That's doable. The Islanders, because that counted as a home game, the Islanders are 13-7-9 at home.
And their psychotic full record is, what is it now? 22-18-14. I think that's
it. Right. You got it.
That's
22-18-14.
That is psychotic.
It's so like, this is, you know, I think it lends, I think we'll probably talk about the broadcast and after the break and stuff and like that kind of stuff. But the fact that nobody's just picking up on this is crazy to me. Like,
they have less regulation wins than Montreal, than Ottawa. Is that true?
Or something like that? They have one less regulation win than Ottawa. But honestly, I don't even think that's as crazy what I'm about to tell you. They have 14 overtime losses and 16 regulation wins. Like, there's a chance here that this team finishes quote unquote above NHL 500 with more overtime losses than regulation wins. It's so psychotic. And you think, like, they have a minus 23 goal differential. Yeah. That looks really, really bad. But 14 of those goals are just overtime losses. So their real goal differential, like, when you strip out the when you strip out the overtime of the shootout, is minus nine, which is like, all right, it's still bad, but it's not minus 23. It's, oh yeah, you're just, when someone comes up to me, it's like, oh man, yeah, the Islanders, like, I see that they're kind of on the fringe of the playoff picture, but that minus 23 goal differential, that really tells you what kind of team it is. And I have to say, no, it's really, here's the funny part. 14 of that red is from overtime, but, you know, I guess five or whatever, however many games they won in overtime. So it's really minus 14, whatever it is. It's all psychotic.
That is awful.
This is a, a team that is supposed to just be drill sergeant, yes sir,
yeah,
do my job, clean my barracks, go to sleep, do it again the next night, is they all have rabies or something? Like, they're foaming at the mouth every time they get a lead. It's something.
That's what I'm saying. Something is rotten. There's something about this team that completely loses its composure at a certain point in the game. And these are professionals. This isn't like, you know, a high school team or something. I just don't get it. And it's infuriating. And again, that's unbelievable that they would have a -9 goal differential. By the way, the Devils right now are -2. So like the Islanders would be kind of right behind them where they are right now in the standing.
Yep.
I do want to say something about Rangers fans who are going to be crowing rightfully because their team won.
I hope that, man. If I was an Islander fan, like if this, the shoe was on the other foot, I'd be like, I'm probably going to listen to some Ranger podcast.
Absolutely.
Today.
Oh, I'm so glad that tomorrow was President's Day and I don't have to listen to any of this stuff. I could just go about my day because I'm not like at work because that's when I usually take in this stuff. I won't probably really be near a computer that much during the day. And I want to shout out our buddy Ethan, who was on from Gotham Sports Network, who was on Weird Islanders and was at the game today and did not have a fun time of it. And he brings up something, and I have a friend of mine, one of my best friends is a Rangers fan, and he is like this. And Ethan has said that this is, you know, what they're like, and he's 100% true. They talk about guys like Panarin, Kreider, Zibanejad, Fox, like they are the worst players in the league. I don't know if anybody's noticed this. They talk about these guys like they are skating mummies. They can't score. They can't do this. They can't do that. This team stinks. They're awful. They're bad. And then they just go up and just decide to win a game. I mean, with a little bit of help from the refs and the Islanders, they just win games. And this happens. You said this before. It seems like the Rangers are perpetually 2 goals down with 8 minutes to go, and then they win. Like, why is that possible? Well, because the guys like Kreider and Zibanejad and Panarin are all really good. Why Rangers fans talk about them like they're garbage, I don't know. But it's just a thing that they do. One other irritating thing that they do. And it is funny. And I just noticed that, you know, when Ethan was talking about it today, I was like, yeah, why is that?
You know, this is part of this whole event is like I feel like Islander fans, and I know I'm an Islander fan, so I'm saying this as an Islander fan, but I think part of the reason we're skeptical when it comes to stuff like this is we're much more substance than style. Like, I don't care where the Islanders win games. I just want them to win games. I don't care if they're playing at Jones Beach. I don't care if they're playing at Nassau Coliseum. If they're winning games, like, I'm happy. I don't care who's watching. The whole kit and caboodle. All I want is I want the Islanders to win games, and I want my favorite pizzerias to stay open. That's really it. Like, that's it. And Ranger fans, it's kind of the opposite. It's like it's a style over substance thing. Like, if our guy doesn't make the All-Star game, we're pissed. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I don't want Matt Barzal there. I don't want him to get hurt. I don't want him talking to Austin Matthews. I want his sole focus to be winning games for the Islanders and playing guitar on the North Shore. Like, that's what I want out of Matt Barzal. I don't care about the other stuff. And it shines through, like, that difference between substance over style and style over substance. And I don't know what I'd rather be, honestly. Because it must be so much easier just to be like, I'm happy to just pop in every once in a while for these kind of games and, you know, sing the goal song and then check back in a couple of weeks. Yankees opening day. I'll get into the Yankees first or the Mets or whoever. Right. And then, you know, I'm right back. You know, Giants season just ended. Now I'm going to the Mets. Rangers playoff starts in a couple of weeks. And then I'll check in to see who we got at the trade deadline. Like, I mean, the Patrick Kane trade is a perfect example, right? Like, that guy didn't fit with that team that was going really well and had a great power play, and they tried to shoehorn Patrick Kane, 36 years old, on one hip, and I knew Patrick Kane's hip was fucked. If I know it, then everybody else knows it, and they still tried to do it, and it appeased them as an Islander fan. Be like, I don't know if I want this. Like, I want the Islanders to win. I don't think Patrick Kane helps me win. Is it cool to have good players on your team? Sure. But yeah, so the fact that this game happens against the Rangers, I'll say once every 3 years, this kind of script plays out between these two teams. It's infuriating because you look at it and you're like, I don't think I can remember a game where the script has been flipped, where you get to feel like this and I get to feel the other way. It's usually just, if the Islanders win, it's just like a professional win where they don't take three penalties right. in the last 10 minutes of a game. Like, they just take care of business. So, it's an infuriating bunch. I'm always happy to talk like hockey with basically, almost any fan on the planet and even some Ranger fans and whatever. But as a whole, like the only two, if I'm just out in the wild and talking to someone, I find out someone's a hockey fan. Like the only fan base I don't get excited to talk hockey about is really the Rangers. Cause it ends up just coming to be, well, the NHL is just a Rangers league. Like you're just a part of the play and that's how they kind of view it. Whereas it's not like there's a whole other league there out there happening without you guys. Mm. You know, the Wild are playing the Dallas Stars in the Midwest tonight on the Plains. But for them, it's just, you know, that stuff just doesn't matter. They're not paying attention to the peripheral stuff. And it works out for them. That's the most infuriating part. Like that lack of being in the weeds and in the foxhole with your team, like it works out for them. And maybe it's a lesson to learn, like, you can just skip January. You don't have to live through the Islanders blowing a lead to the Colorado Avalanche. You just ignore it and check back in a few weeks.
Yeah.
That's an option here. And on a night like this, like that option, boy, does it look appealing.
Well, I mean, we always say that the you know, Rangers don't get on in the newspaper until the second round of the playoffs. So, I mean, that's pretty endemic to what the whole thing is. But, you know, I don't really like talking to Rangers fans either. Although I did see on Instagram, one of my favorite AEW wrestlers, Willow Nightingale, was at the game today and with her husband, who I guess they're Rangers fans. I don't know. Willow's from the island. I was hoping she was an Islanders fan. Maybe he's a Rangers fan. I don't know. But that would be very disappointing if I found out that she was a Rangers fan. Okay, let's take a break and take a breather. We'll come back on the other side. We'll talk about the broadcast. We will talk about the announcement of the All-Star Game coming to UBS Arena in 2026. And we'll look ahead at the next couple of games. And hopefully we can salvage a little bit of positivity out of this absolutely terrible day. But come back on the other side and find out. All right, thanks. And now a word from our sponsors. First is VintageIceHockey.com, where you can get t-shirts, hoodies, jerseys, mugs, and more featuring over 100 classic hockey logos. Vintage Ice Hockey also carries our Al Arbor and the Island merch, and our portion of the sales always go directly to the Center for Dementia Research. Use the code ANXIETY20 to save 20% off an order of two items. That is VintageIceHockey.com. Try wines from the Pinot Project. They offer a rosé, a Pinot Grigio, and a Pinot Noir that was named a 2022 Top 100 Best Buy by Wine Enthusiast Magazine. All are delicious, priced at less than $15 a bottle, and available at local wine shops and at UBS Arena. Learn more at thepinotproject.com. Please drink responsibly. The fine folks at FOCO have two new Islanders bobbleheads commemorating the Stadium Series game at MetLife Stadium. Order your Ilya Sorokin or Sparky bobblehead today at FOCO.com or click the link in the podcast description. These are limited to 124 pieces, so act now. That's FOCO, FOCO.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, before we talk about the next couple of games, let's talk about the broadcast. Well, actually, you know what? Let's start with the All-Star Game stuff first. So they announced via Dennis Potvin and Brian Trotte, always great to see those guys, that UBS Arena will be getting the All-Star Game in 2026. Now, The outdoor game I wanted no part of, to be blunt. I was not going to go. I didn't even bother to try. I didn't want to be there in the cold and in that terrible stadium that is very hard to get to, even when you live in the same state in which it exists. But the All-Star game is a different animal. And I, for one, am going to definitely make every attempt to get there. I do want to see it. It's according to Greg Wyshynski, it's going to be kind of a precursor to the Olympics, which are also that year. And obviously you're going to have NHLers. So there might be more of an international bent to it. But as terrible as the game ended up being, I'm excited for this. I want to go. I mean, the Islanders haven't hosted an All-Star game since 1983. And we've all heard the story. And John Garrett was going to win the MVP. And then Wayne Gretzky scored like 5 goals in the third period to take it. He ended up driving home a car. I'm sure it was like a T-top Camaro or something from the Islanders. So it's been a long time. And certainly Nassau Coliseum wasn't going to get one. So once again, thank God for UBS Arena. Hopefully the hotel is done by then. It'll be a lot easier for everybody to stay there. But this was cool. I mean, what'd you think of this? I mean, this is something we're not, I mean, we didn't think we would get another all outdoor game. This is definitely not the kind of thing that happens that often. So I think, yeah. I would think that most people are going to be excited about this.
Yeah, I was skeptical. I mean, you started to hear the whispers about it and I was just skeptical. I was like, this is going to be, oh, a split All-Star game, skills competition at UBS Arena, All-Star game at Madison Square Garden the next day or something like that. Mm. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, it's, I think the my favorite part in my head, at least, about what an All-Star game or an All-Star weekend on Long Island would be like, is that the whole hockey world just ends up descending on Long Island.
Yeah.
Which right. I think, you know, is great because there's, you know, obviously a lot more to do than just go from the Marriott and cross the parking lot and have people hurl, empty skull can tins or beers at you as you walk into Nassau Coliseum as an opposing player. So, you know, I think it's great that that's happening. I do hope that it's a little bit more Long Island centric than like the hype video that they released, which was just a bunch of, you know, New York City skylines and such. But I'm in a cranky mood because the Islanders, I don't want to be, you know, that cranky that I'm pissed about this, but yeah, I'm trying to conjure up some sort of happiness about it, but it'll take a couple days for me to get there because of what just happened. But
I mean, you got 2 years to get excited.
Yeah, that's so true.
I wouldn't worry about it. Yeah. But no, it would be good. And unfortunately, as you were saying before, our group chat is doom and gloom. And one of the funniest things I read today in there was, it's going to be great when there's one Islander there and 6 Leafs. You know, that'll be a fun thing for the Islanders' own All-Star game. But no, I'm excited. And, you know, I just hope that they don't sort of skimp on the Long Island stuff. Like, you were just saying that before. I don't want to hear about New York City. Like, if the Rangers get an All-Star game, then that's great. And tell me all about Manhattan. Right. You know, I spend a lot of time in Manhattan. My job is in Manhattan. Like, that's great. But this, I want this to be Long Island's All-Star game. I want to hear about Montauk. I want to hear about the Big Duck. I want to hear about, you know, Sagamore Hill and Adventureland and all these like goofball weird places. And, you know, how about they did a whole thing about diners in New Jersey. And I got to be honest, I live in New Jersey now. I've lived on Long Island for 26 years. To me, the Long Island diner experience is a million times better than the New Jersey diner experience. I'm sorry. Like, we don't have diners here where like it's the go-to fail safe for me to go eat. Whereas on the island, we had like 6. It was like, oh, well, no matter who was hungry or not hungry, who wanted what. If one guy's in, you know, feels like soup, one guy feels like pancakes, one guy feels like a banana split, you go to a diner and you get everything. You know, we don't really have that here in Jersey, no matter how many diners they have. I mean, the island one is better, but you know, they should do a whole thing about pizza and lobster. And like, there's just so much about Long Island that is crying and dying to be showcased that if they don't do that in this one time,
right,
that would really suck. Like, it would just really be disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right. And now to kind of bring this back to the broadcast and move on to that, like, I want what they kind of were doing with Jersey, right? Like,
yes.
We, like you said, the diner thing and the Tommy DeVito stuff.
Yeah.
And
Steve Sciarippa from
Steve Sciarippa. Yeah. Yeah, like that kind of stuff. Like, that's what I want for Long Island. Like, it's got its own unique personality that isn't Manhattan. Like, I know that the Islanders owner's brother owns the Empire State Building, which is you know, crazy to say. The only, it sounds like something John Spano would say. Like, oh, my brother owns the Empire State Building, by the way. So, yeah, I do have this money. So I understand the obsession, and it seems like, you know, we're talking style over substance and substance over style. It does seem like sometimes the Islander ownership group can feign or could lean towards the other way. But yeah, like just show off the island. Like it was getting under my skin how the broadcast today and even last night watching the game was just so. There was just almost no mention of the Islanders,
right?
Tradition or history or culture or that they just kind of showed up to this game and
yeah,
that was hosted by Mark Messier in New Jersey. Basically, that's how it felt.
And PK Subban, don't forget.
Yeah,
PK
and Subban. And you know that the Devils came off the boat. The Devils came off the bus in like their Sopranos stuff, and the Flyers came off in their sweatshirts and whatever, or the Rocky cosplay, and. At that exact moment, I was like, "Yeah, the Islanders. They're gonna. I hope that they show up just in suits because I can imagine the outrage, and it'll be so much fun to watch people just flip out about this. And I understand, like, if you were somebody who wanted to see them, you know, have some fun, I get it. Like, I understand it. But like, I'm a sick individual, and I would much rather watch the discourse about Lou Lamoriello online than see the Islanders, you know, come off a bus dressed as you know, waiters or something. But this yeah, like, so just the lack of fanfare, like, about like the Islanders arrival or anything, like, it just all kind of bled into they're just here to blow a lead late in the third period, boys. Well, that's all they're here to do.
They did show up in fire trucks and like police cruisers or whatever, so that was their thing.
Yeah,
like being on the fire trucks, which is kind of cool, but like at the same time, people wanted to see something a little bit more showy, and if you were expecting them to show up in anything other than suits, I don't know what to tell you. You don't know this team very well. So, and you know, there was at least one person who wanted Lou executed in a town square for not allowing his team to dress up in costume coming to a game. You need a bucket of cold water thrown on your face. I'm sorry. Like, you could be disappointed, but this is what this team is. But I mean, the fire truck thing was pretty cool. Yeah, I just want Long Island showcased. I think they deserve it. We saw, God only knows, Toronto showcased to the point where it was a little bit sickening at their All-Star game. Actually, you know, they used it as an excuse to bring in all kinds of different Canadian artists and stuff like that. And I kind of want to see, you know, Long Island get the same thing. I don't want to see Billy Joel. I get it. He's the Long Island guy, but it's been enough already. Clearly Mariah Carey is going to cost too much, so she ain't coming to an NHL gig. We'll get to this weekend's entertainment in a second, but I'm not going to quit until Pat Benatar plays one of these NHL things. She's from Lindenhurst. Everybody loves Pat Benatar. She's out there. She's still singing. Her and her husband, Neil Giraldo, they've been married for 40-something years. He's the guy who co-wrote all the great songs for her. He's a fantastic guitarist. She's still Pat Benatar. It's a slam dunk. Just make it happen. If we can't get Pat Benatar for some reason, you got Public Enemy. You've got Taking Back Sunday. You've got Ashanti. You've got people. You got LL Cool J. Bring back LL. Everybody loves LL Cool J. Like, these people are from the island. They can do this. Host this gig and make it about the island, make it about the Islanders. Like, just, but at the same time, if the Islanders are still out here, you know, blowing every third game and losing in overtime, I'm not going to want to see them really want to showcase either. So you got time to get there and make this whole thing worth celebrating, but it can be done and it should be done. And I mean, we don't need Long Island's hockey history. Doesn't need to take a backseat to nobody. Like, let's be honest,
right?
You know,
That was like the thing. It almost felt like we were being treated like an expansion team during this weekend.
Right.
Like, Tommy DeVito's talking about, you know, he's doing this like montage, and he's like, oh, we got tons of hockey history. Plus, like, Mark Messier beat the Rangers here, beat the Devils here, which was, it was just such a weird thing. And then there was just really no mention of, the Isles or the Flyers. And
yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But I mean, but even without the Islanders, you've got the, you know, the Ducks, the Eastern, you know, Eastern League team, and the Rovers played here. Like, there are kids growing up on the island that are playing hockey all over. Some of them were showcasing the game today. Make it a thing. Make it so people understand. Long Island is a hockey community. We are a hockey land. We don't need to, yes, okay, this team is frustrating and maddening and has went through 20 years of absolute hell. That doesn't mean it has to, like, we have to minimize the whole history of the sport here. So let's make that happen. I'm excited for it. I'll see you all there. Hopefully, hopefully these tickets aren't a little bit insane. But I do. I would like to go, and now I can crash at my parents' house. So there you go. Okay. Let's go back to today's game real quick and talk about the broadcast. It was again on ABC. Sean McDonough on the call. Messier and Subban. I like how PK Subban now was like the Devil's ambassador. Like, this guy is playing like the Ken Danico role. And the last time I checked, Ken Danico, thankfully, is still with us. Why wasn't Ken Danico? I don't understand. Like, that's Mr. Devil. He's Ken Danico. It's not PK Subban. He like read out the starting lineup. And I think a lot of those Devils who played with PK were like, the fuck is this guy doing? Like, why are you here? Did we sign him again? Oh God. You know, so but I thought it was a little, I thought the broadcast was okay. I thought, you know, and in terms of ESPN, it was okay.
Yeah. I thought that, you know, that's what happens when the play-by-play guy is a professional right. play-by-play guy, yeah. And you got Ray Ferraro as the color guy.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, and I know it's an Islanders thing. I know he's an Islanders guy. He always sticks up for the Islanders. I don't care. When Ray Ferraro is on the call, I feel like I'm in good hands. Like, yes. I don't care what the team is, especially when it's the Islanders, but if it's any team, I feel like this is going to be a good game because Ray is good. And I like hearing him talk, basically.
Yeah. He actually, there is a point in the game where the Islanders were in the middle of just throwing up on themselves. And he made me feel better for like 3 seconds because he's like, all right, you gave up that goal. Like, now it's time to just kind of, you got to just bear down. And I can't even remember the exact quote, but that was the gist of it. And I was like, yeah, he's right. Like, he's been here before. He's an Islander. Like, he he's played for the Rangers too, but he's an Islander. And like, if Ray Ferraro is saying that, these guys know it. And then Scott Mayfield tripped Lafreniere. So like, I was for like 3 seconds, I was like, you know what? Right. This isn't like Butch Goring, who I love, giving some rah-rah speech. This is Ray Ferraro saying it. And so I chose to believe him, and I was wrong.
I like how he was retweeting people who were like, oh man, your team lost. You were in the bag for the Islanders the whole time. This guy's best years, by his own admission, came while playing for the Islanders. Like, nobody thinks of this guy as a Ranger or an LA King or an Atlanta Thrasher or maybe a Hartford Whaler, if not the Islanders. But, you know, this guy, I'm happy to have him be our Islanders guy. He's always had a soft spot. Obviously, he works out west for the most part where he lives. So we don't get him out here. I wish we kind of did. No offense to Butch, but it would be great if we had Ray Ferraro call some more games. You know, I don't think he was being Islander homerific at all. I thought he was calling it pretty, you know, he does a pretty good job of staying neutral. But, you know, hearing somebody say something nice about the Islanders is so rare that it sounds like he's being an Islanders homer, but he really kind of isn't. So, and I mean, listen, when the Rangers took the game over, I mean, it wasn't like pumping the Islanders tires. Like, that's ridiculous. You know, the whole jersey thing, I thought it was a little bit weird that they reran the Tommy DeVito opening from Saturday night's Flyers Devils game to today. I thought they would have had a different opening. Yeah. I thought they were going to play up the Islanders Rangers rivalry, which would have been cool. I kind of expected, I know we just said that I didn't expect the Islanders to wear anything, but I thought maybe there was an outside chance if they did do anything, the Islanders would come in sort of Jets green. The Rangers would come in and, you know, sort of Giants red, white, and blue. For whatever reason, the Islanders were in the Giants locker room and the Rangers were in the Jets locker room. Did these people know that the Jets played at Chase Stadium and practiced at Hofstra for like 20 years? I don't know why. Jets are kind of the Long Island team, although they play here in New Jersey too. So I thought that was a little bit weird. Again, I got no problem celebrating New Jersey, but in a game against two New York teams, it's a little bit weird.
Yeah, that was the thing that was the head scratcher. It's like you make such a big deal about these outdoor games, that you think you'd just be like, okay, there's two of them, we're gonna have two different packages. Like, we're gonna have the Devils and Flyers package, and then next day we'll do the Rangers and Islanders one. But this league is just so, you know, good at making you feel like they're doing you a favor just by hosting the league. They're like, look, we don't want to do this. We don't want to put the hockey games on. We just want to be the NHL. We just want to be a company. That they're like, you're going to take what you get and you're going to like it. Okay. Like, this is, you're going to get the Devils. You're going to get the Devils montage, the Devils Rangers montage, Flyers and Islander fans, and you're going to like it. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry to tell you, we invited you here. We didn't want to. But if you're going to keep complaining, we'll just not let you do it for another 10 years. We're like, please, please, please.
Yeah.
Please just stop inviting us to any game.
Yeah, I agree. And that's exactly how I feel now. Please do not invite the Islanders to any more of these games. Am I crazy? By the way, am I crazy? Or did the Rangers and Bruins play a game at Citi Field? That happened, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, I don't want to see the Islanders in any more of these games, but if they don't get one at Citi Field at some point, that would also be like a huge miss. I mean, come on. Like, why don't we just get Islanders Bruins at Citi Field?
It was Rangers Sabres. Rangers Sabres.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
Sabres. Yeah. And the Sabres were the home team, I think.
Yeah. Well, because the Rangers aren't allowed to play any place else other than the Garden. So that to me is like a slam. Again, not that the Islanders deserve it. Wait until they're better. Hopefully the Bruins are a little bit worse. But like to me, an Islanders Bruins game at City Field is a slam dunk. Why are we waiting? Why are we screwing around? Oh, that's right, because the Islanders can't get their own Winter Classic or Stadium Series game. They always have to be, you know, attached to some 4-day long whatever extravaganza. So anyway, a word about the musical choices. So the Jonas Brothers played on Saturday night, New Jersey natives. I got no problem with the Jonas Brothers. They're fine. I thought it was funny that Nick Jonas was dressed like Marlon Brando on the waterfront. He had like a blue kind of fur coat, like a dockman's coat and like a, you know, the wool cap. I thought that was an interesting choice there. But I thought it was fine. They played a bunch of songs that I knew. So, okay, that's cool. The entertainment that we got on Sunday was a band called AJR that I had never heard of before they were announced as the act for the game. And people told me, oh no, they're good. I've heard they're good. I'm glad they like them because I thought it was terrible. And shout out to our buddy Bud Lightlyman, who nailed it when he said this sounds like the music they play over the speakers at Old Navy. He was 100% right. I said it sounded like a Target commercial, but Old Navy, it really nailed it. That's the vibe that I got. I didn't enjoy it. Again, I was mad about no Pat Benatar, but maybe hopefully this All-Star game will rectify that. I didn't like it at all. No offense. It wasn't my thing. Sorry. Too many, I don't know, horns and flutes and weirdness. If you're not Jethro Tull, I don't want to hear a flute. Or Lizzo, she plays a flute pretty good. What did you catch any of this performance? And if you did, what did you think about it?
No, I made sure not to watch any of the intermission stuff because I just didn't want to hear these guys anymore. You know, yeah, I just didn't want to hear Mark Messier anymore. I didn't want to hear PK Subban anymore. I wanted to I wanted to try to convince myself that I would have the willpower to not watch the next period that was coming. That if I turn off the TV, maybe Isla will turn something on and I'll just be like, you know what? I just don't even want to deal with the fuss of being like, I got to turn the Islander game back on.
I'd rather watch Peppa Pig than was that we watched.
I would, if I could just watch Peppa Pig for the rest of my life and never have to watch another Islander game, I would just, like I would be walking around and with mud on me and snorting at people or do whatever you need me to do. I will be your muse. Just if I don't have to watch another one of these games. And so I didn't see it. It sounded like of the people who went, I've talked to a couple people who went who said like they had a blast. And that's the thing. Like if you go to these things, you're going to have a good time. Like it's great. Like you go tailgate, you're going to see a lot of Islander fans, people busing, not a lot of people really driving back and forth. So it's a great thing to go to. I know the cold sucks, whatever, but like if you're going, you're going to have a good time until the game starts. But because then you should have just left. You know better. Like, come on. You went to that game and then save for the game. You should have just turned around and went home. watching it on TV with the faux kind of spectacle about it is a little it's just weird. Like, I think that was part of the reason I was happy the Islanders just showed up in suits because I was like, at least they're not taking the Mickey here because they need to win this game. Like they need to win it. This isn't the spectacle doesn't matter here. No matter where this game is being played, they need to get points. And
Wah said as much in his pregame thing.
Yeah.
As well, so
As I also said, like I was thrilled because you just knew people were going to, like you said, call for Lou's head, which literally happened, which was great. The spectacle of it just, if the Islanders were where the Rangers were in the standings, like I think I could be convinced to pay more attention to the outside noise and the music and the whatever, the all-star announcement, stick around for the whole, for the intermission. But to me, that sitting through the Islanders game was just going to be stressful enough that I didn't care about any of that other stuff. And I just wanted it to end. And unfortunately it did, with the Islanders net off its mooring and a puck in it still. So to answer your question, no, I didn't watch that band.
Yeah, good. You didn't miss anything, because it definitely wasn't going to make your night any better. But sorry, guys, it's just not my thing. Pat Benatar, definitely my thing. Okay, let us move on from the debacle that we've been talking about now for over an hour and talk about three more potential debacles coming up this week, starting on Tuesday against the aforementioned Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, the Penguins lost again today. They have had a number of problems this season, including their power play and their general scoring. But they didn't have any problem beating the Islanders twice this season, beating the pants off of them, as a matter of fact. This game that the Islanders lost today puts a dent in their playoff hopes for sure. If anything, yeah, they got a point, but it's one less game left on the schedule. A loss to the Penguins on Tuesday, I think, would be a very, very important nail in their coffin. We don't know if they would close it on them, but this would be very, 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 very bad. This, once again, is a team that is very, very, very beatable. This is a team that the Islanders should beat in a spot in which they should come up big and play like professionals. Every single time they've had a chance to win a game like this, they have failed miserably. Tuesday, 7 o'clock in Pittsburgh is, I don't want to say it's the season, but I mean, let's be honest. Like, this could potentially be the season. We got a game against the Red Wings next week too, that we'll obviously talk about in our next episode. But like, this is the kind of game you need to win. And we've said that a million times. We said that before the Seattle game. You know, this Rangers game was always going to be a crapshoot because it was the outdoor setting. But like, seriously, go into Pittsburgh and get 2 points. And if you can't, trade everybody. Like, I just don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say. What else is there to say about this game on Tuesday?
Yeah, I'll tell you what there is to say about it. It's that you're, like I said, me and you are fresh wounds from this game. Not the sun has set once between the Islanders losing and you listening to this, and you probably spent all night thinking that you just don't want to ever watch another Islander game again, and that's 100% the right thing to think and the right thing to do. But here's the worst part about this game: we're all going to be watching it. That's the only thing that's really sticking out to me. Yeah, it's a must-win game, but they've all been must-win games, and we just keep watching this team. Like, that's the sickening thing here, is that everybody listening to this podcast, you, me, and this fan base, are going to spend all day Tuesday thinking, man, if we could just get this win, and string a couple together, like, we're right back in it.
We're all here for the next 22 whatever game. Like, there's no doubt about that.
How terrible is that?
It's awful.
Like, because it's, there's really no excuse for it anymore.
No,
right? Like, we're making fun of these guys, that Seattle game. Like, how could you come out and play that game after you just did what you did against the Flames a couple days beforehand and said, you know, we got to be better. And then they're probably looking at us like, how could you watch us do that and then watch us do this and then now watch us do this against the Rangers and come back and watch us on Tuesday night, just a couple nights later, in another must-win game that you're not even involved in? Like, is there something rotten in the locker room, or is there something rotten in the fan base? Because if we're the losers here, we're the ones that keep coming back to them, and they should win this game on Tuesday, and they're going to go up, 3-0, and I'm going to be like, they're going to blow this game. They're just going to blow it.
Well, it's funny, actually. What you were just saying made me think of something. How many, we talked before about the list of all the blown leads and whatever that have happened this season. How many of those teams do you think, in the locker room after the game, after they were all congratulating each other, big win, boys, good win, how many players would you think probably sat in their stall after that game and went, how did those guys lose that game? like, you know, like, I mean, they're happy they won, but like, if you're the Flames or something, like, you know, they're sitting in the locker room at UBS Arena after that game, like last Saturday. I mean, there's got to be somebody who's like, what the fuck happened out there? What were these guys thinking? Did they need these points? Like, what are they doing? Like, I don't, somebody has to, or on the bus or in the game. Like,
yeah,
you would like think, what were they doing? I mean, I feel bad. Like, what are they doing? I don't understand what's going on. Oh, maybe I'm being too nice. I don't know.
No, yeah, you think you're right. But yeah, like for the Rangers, it's nothing because this is what happens. They're like,
right,
clinical win for us.
Yeah, or I wouldn't expect the Penguins as
right.
either, obviously. But like, still.
Yeah, and it's going to, you know, I thought, I'm choosing to believe Patrick Roy being genuine and saying like he took a lot of positives from the game. And I'm going to do my best to like think about that. And I'm going to, you know, he instituted the midnight rule the other day. When they beat the Lightning, the midnight rule hasn't worked for the Islanders because they are still resting on their laurels from that game, I guess.
Yeah.
But he instituted the midnight rule, which is that you can be happy, and then once it turns midnight, you got to start gearing up for the next game. And so for this one, I'm just gonna take the next couple hours here and sulk and stay up all night, and then spend all day Monday and Tuesday convincing myself to believe in this team again. And a million different ways to be a fan and whatever. And there's a lot of people who are like, you know, the season's over and it's time to sell and whatever. And I'm just the type of fan that will be doing mathematical gymnastics until the Islanders get eliminated. Cause I just hate the fact that the off season is so long. And then it's not just the off season that you got to sit through you got to then go through a whole other season to get back to this exact point. Right. So that's a long time. A lot happens between now and then. I don't want to ever give up on seasons because you just never know. And, but like you said, if that Penguins game goes awry, which I'm fully expecting it to.
Oh, of course.
yeah, it's hard. It's going to be hard for even fans like myself, like the fight to the last drop, trade for Marc-Andre Bergeron and Ryan Smith and give it the old college try.
Yeah.
Kind of fans like, yeah. It's going to be even hard for us because, And the worst part is like, have the Islanders just beat like the Kraken?
Yeah.
Or closed out this lead?
Mm.
This game wouldn't be a life or death.
Right.
And it is for both teams. Like you said, you broke the news that the Penguins lost tonight on Jaromir Jagr night, in regulation. So like it's essentially a one game playoff for both teams. And, then it's up to, and it's not like a, oh, win and in situation. It's a win and stay barely breathing, and then hope to God you win like six in a row at some point. Right.
Well, I was gonna say like we're talking about the Penguins game. Obviously, that's the first one up. It's Tuesday night. That's the immediate thing. The team that they're chasing you. There are two other games this week. They got to go into St. Louis after that Pittsburgh game, for a game against the Blues at 8 o'clock on Thursday, and then oh boy, another matinee game. Wow. Great. This time against the Lightning that were just here and just got their asses handed to them by the Islanders 6-2 in a game that they just sort of, they didn't have it that night. And don't think that they forgot about it, because they sure as hell didn't. You know, let's be positive and say the Islanders beat the Penguins. Let's say they walk out of there with a 4-2 win. Very, very by the book, very boring 4-2 road win. Okay, but
it was 4-0 with 3 minutes to go, and they win 4-2.
Exactly. Then what's next? A game in St. Louis, a game against the Blues, who, you know, could be good one night and not so good the next night. And then again, this team has not won a matinee game. And let me check my notes here. Hold on. Let me check my notes. 1980. That was the last matinee game the Islanders won. Go check it out. That's a true fact. Ask Eric Hornick. That's true. So, I mean, I don't even know what to make of this. Like you just said it. It's like if you beat the Penguins, great. You're barely breathing, and now you're gonna keep on doing this dance every single night until the music stops,
basically. Yes.
And then we're not to get to far ahead of ourselves, because we will have another episode next week. We got Dallas and Detroit next week, so like again, these are not easy games to play, and the Islanders need points. They need to beat these teams. No more loser points. Sorry, none of that crap anymore. That's been over for a long time now. Yeah. But I'm fairly confident against the Penguins, but then this Blues and Bright Lightning thing makes me even less confident.
Well, this is what losses like this and the one against the Kraken do. We don't get to say they just got to win two out of these next three.
right.
anymore, right?
Mm.
It's now you got to win all three. Like you can maybe get away with taking 5 out of 6 points, but yeah. you got to win all three. You got like that's got to be it. Like if you want to truly make a go, you got to go into the we got to be talking about a 3-game winning streak and a 5-game point streak. But the next time we talk on Sunday, because that's what's genuinely going to keep this team in the race at this point. Yeah. And like you said, you know, they have 3 games this week, but in reality, the Islanders have like 10 because every Detroit Red Wings game right now is an Islander game. Every Flyers game is an Islander game. Every Devils game is an Islander game. Every Penguins game is an Islander game. Like I was up on Thursday night, Saturday, whenever the Red Wings played the Canucks, watching, you know, I watched hockey all day. The Islanders were off. We got the couple results went our way. And then basically the night, whether the night was a good night or a bad night, was going to come down to the Red Wings and the Canucks. And I stayed up till like 2 in the morning to watch that game.
Mm.
That's not good.
Yeah. No.
Because it's not good because this team's not good either. Like this is it'd be one thing if I was doing this with a team that's like, oh, we could go if this was 2018, 2019 again. You know, this gung-ho team, get it. There's some momentum here. Something clearly is happening with this group. They've come together, they've galvanized this coach. The you know, we're 6 years the 5th year anniversary of the Tavares return games coming up. Like there's all this kind of tangible vibes and good feeling and spirit amongst this team. That was a team to stay up till 2 a.m. and watch the Red Wings play the Canucks for. This team isn't, and I still can't, I don't have it in me to not do it. And I'm like, all right, I gotta do it. I just gotta, cause I won't be able to sleep without at least giving it a shot. So
yeah,
that's the worst part for me here. It's like, I'm putting myself through this and not just through the games. Like I'm going into Vancouver. I'm going into Rogers Place to watch the Islanders play a game that they're not even playing. Like clearly this is a glutton for punishment situation. So,
but that actually reminds me of something that I thought about. And I mean, we could start to wrap up after this. So you and I have been doing this podcast for 8 seasons. This is our 8th season. Okay. We started 2015-16, the first year under Barry Trotz. The Islanders have made the playoffs 5 times in those 8 seasons.
Okay.
And of all those seasons, playoff and non, only one time have we, you and I, and everybody listening to this, not sweated out a playoff berth. That one time was the 18-19 season, the first year under Barry Trotz. They finished 2nd in the division that year. Best season they had had since the dynasty. They had home ice in the playoffs. They swept the Penguins. That was the first. That was the only time that they didn't have to. We didn't have to sweat it out. We sweated it out in 15-16. That was the year that the Tavares goal beat the Panthers. They missed the next two. Then 18-19. Then was the first pandemic with the bubble season where they were absolute garbage just before the pause, came back to the pause, a totally different team, ran through everybody, made it, you know, far in the bubble. Half season next season, they were kind of terrible to start. They got better. Lee got hurt. They get Palmieri. They make it all the way to Stanley, you know, the semifinals. That was great. And then the next year, the late year after that, they completely fell apart. Last year was very similar to this year where it was just kind of up and down. This year, again, they're hanging on for dear life. And frankly, I'm sick to death of this. I'm sick to death of this life. I really want to go back to 18-19 and really relive what it's like to just, you know, I mean, it was a little bit weird prior to Christmas and they brought up Devon Taves. We talked about this and kind of took off from there, but I mean, that's normal. And that was the most comfortable season we've had in our time doing this show. And I'm frankly sick of living like this. I don't want to live like this anymore.
Yeah.
I want a team that just wins games when they need to.
I think that's, and it's a thing to remind yourself of is like,
right.
And I apologize if I've been, you know, too negative and sarcastic, but the game today, I think was a cause for sarcasm and darkness.
You got to do what you can to cope, you know,
yeah,
you
exactly.
got to laugh if not, you're going to cry.
But the point is that like you think about it, like it's just never been easy. Like it's been easy right. once in, because you go back the playoff berth before that, like the 2014-15 team. Yeah, like they were a bit of a buzzsaw. They were fun, whatever. But it was like the last season at the Coliseum. There was still some. There was a lot of jeopardy to it.
Yeah.
So, but you want to lump that one in with 2018-19, go for it. Mm. And then the only time before that that they made the playoffs between the, like, 2007 and the last year at the first last year at the Coliseum was that shortened year. They had to go on a crazy run to get in, so it wasn't a sure thing at all. Like, I think they clinched like three games left. And then the time that they made the playoffs before that, they got in because of Wade Dublowitz poke checking,
right?
Sergei Brelin in the last, literally the last play of the season.
Yeah.
So it's, your point is kind of profound in like the Islander experience, which is, it's no part of it is easy.
Right.
Right. Like it's just where, even when it's good, it's rarely easy good. It's just good because there are more good days than bad days, but there are plenty of bad days. If when it's bad, it's just the lows are just incredible right now. Like I've thought to myself, I would say a dozen times this season, this is rock bottom. Like there's no feasible way. I can't in my sick head come up with a way to top this loss. And mm-hmm. I said it, you know, after the blown leads to the Devils and to the Bruins, to the
Sharks, to
the Predators, the Sharks, Blackhawks.
Mm. Oh yeah. Oh man. Devils. How did we forget that one? Yeah.
Yeah. To the Devils, I've said it, you know, a million times in the season, and today I said it again. And I thought to my, before I even thought it, I was like, don't you dare think that it can't get worse than this. Cause it clearly can. But that's just the difference between, you know, our fan base. And if we want to just use the easy parallel to the Rangers, it's like, had the Rangers just lost this game tonight, they would just be like,
yeah,
it's fun night out, fun day out.
Meanwhile,
Islander fans would have just white knuckled through a game that should have been comfortable. And now we're on the bus home and just thank God. And, you know, watching the Penguins game and on their phones. But, yeah, it's just, you're right. It's just never easy. It's even when it's been good. So it's been rough, but they're still in it. And the freaking Red Wings lose tomorrow to the Kraken. I'm going to be, you know, right back in riding shotgun next to Scott Mayfield being like, I forgive you. Let's just get this done. But, right now, I can't even just like, I can't even think about them, like their faces.
Yeah, no, I think we've all deserved some time off. So whether you're listening to this on Monday or Tuesday, if you're off on Monday, as most people are, we hope that we have helped you. We hope that we have made Sunday's loss maybe a little bit easier to take, or possibly you've gotten just more mad listening to us relive the experience. But just know, as I say all the time, I've said this many, many times, we are out there. More of us are out there. And there are, you know, as lonely as it may feel being an Islanders fan sometimes, there are many of us. And so, you know, all over the world. So whatever you're feeling, I guarantee that we're feeling it. Other people are feeling it. So you know, sometimes it helps to know that, although it does not help the Islanders mathematically in the standings. But we'll see what happens after this week. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Oh, one more thing to finally tie up the Stadium Series game. The Giants and Jets were out introducing everybody. I texted you in our group chat. Where's D. Wood? Where's Damian Woody? Took him two periods to get him. The big man did show up. He sat with Kevin Weeks for a little while. It was great. And I feel like he said something at that time. I was telling my in-laws, I'm like, yeah, Damian Woody became an Islanders fan. And I mean, like, not just like, oh, he's showing up at the game. I mean, like, he's on Twitter being like, how come this broadcast team is all in for this other team and not the Islanders? You know, like that's a real fan right there. So I was glad he was there. I hope he had a good time. I hope nobody gave him too much shit on the way out. I would not want to give Damian Woody shit because he's you know, twice my size, but nice to see him out there. Good, great ambassador for the team.
And one other thing just to point out too, is like the New York Islanders United Kingdom fan group came over for this game.
Oh my God, you poor guys.
Yeah. And we had this discussion a couple weeks ago where we talked about our friend Tristan who came over.
Yeah.
He watched the Islanders lose to the Canucks and then beat the Maple Leafs. And I thought to myself, you know, it's kind of good to see the team. Like when you're making a trip like that, you kind of want to, I think you should see the yin and the yang. Like it's nice to see. I don't mean it for like this. That's a little much, but it's awesome that they came over and went to this game. And if any of them are listening, I'm sorry that you were on a completely different island.
Yeah.
And you still found your way onto this island. I give you a ton of credit for sticking with it and spending money to come across the Atlantic Ocean to watch that, because that's you know what, you're just never gonna forget that one. That is not one you're never gonna forget.
That is true. Yeah. Your coworkers are gonna love to hear that story, I'm sure, when you get back there. So
yeah, right. Oh, how was the hockey? It must have been great, right? Did your team win? Well, here, just funny, imagine that, this.
But we appreciate you guys coming over. That's some dedication. I mean, again, I live in the same state with MetLife Stadium, and I didn't want to go there. So I give you guys all the credit in the world for flying across the Atlantic to sit in there and watch that
disaster. And who knows? Maybe the Islanders pay you back with, you know,
I hope so,
a 7-game rip here.
Sure.
And all of a sudden we're just laughing.
Or at least tickets to an All-Star game 2 years from now. Anyway, all right, that'll do it for us. We've talked a lot here. We'll be back in a couple of weeks or 1 week with our next episode and see where these three games go. Sign up at patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety for ad-free episodes and bonus content. Follow us on Twitter at Isles Anxiety Pod. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and at Spotify. Our theme song is Morning Haze by Family Dinner. Listen to more of their music on Bandcamp and at Spotify, and they are going to be on tour in the UK in March, so check it out. Read Lighthouse Hockey every single day for your most up-to-date Islanders news and discussion. God help whoever wrote the recap. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but you're doing the Lord's work over there. Islanders Anxiety Podcasts are part of the Fans First Sports Network. Learn more at fansfirstsports.com. Shop vintageicehockey.com. Try wines from the Pinot Project. In case you missed it before, the fine folks of FOCO have two new bobbleheads commemorating the game. Yeah, I get it. Nobody wants to relive the game, but they're pretty sick looking. I got to tell you, if you're a huge goalie fan, they have an Ilya Sorokin one that looks really good, and they have a Sparky one too, finally. So check it out, foco.com, or use the link in the podcast description. Mike, where can everybody find you on Twitter?
You can find me at the Big Lebowski with two E's.
Follow Mike at the Big Lebowski. Read and listen to his work at Action Network. Any final thoughts on what it was that we witnessed today?
No, the only thing I'll say is this is something I've said, you know, hundreds of times, I feel like, on this podcast, which is that if this is, you know, the lowest point of the season, or this is as shitty as you felt throughout the entire season, and by all means, it's definitely up there. I'm sure there's a lot of people. It's getting close to 10 o'clock Eastern time when we're recording this. There's probably a lot of people that, as we're sitting here recording, it's still sitting on their couch, just staring at the ceiling or the blank screen. And that, but the key is just to remember, as low as you feel now, if things do turn around by some goddamn Patrick Waugh miracle, you got to be as high as you are low, right? So just keep that in mind, if just in case we do get to that point. So and hopefully they beat the shit out of the Penguins on Tuesday and things can get a little bit better, because this sucks right now.
Yeah, that would be very helpful. And we hope that that's how it goes. But we'll find out and we'll talk about it next week. All right, thanks a lot for listening, and we will talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.